Welcome back to another episode of Life Lessons Unscripted. Today I have with me Sydney Scotia. Sydney Scotia is an actress, director, producer, and entrepreneur who is well known for her role as Geneva Hayes in the Netflix TV show Some Assembly Required. She received a boost to stardom from this role, for which she also won 2 Joey Awards and a Leo Award nomination for Best Actress, Young Ensemble, and Best Performance, respectively. Since playing Geneva, she has taken on a successful and diverse career. She has since played many notable roles, such as Enigma and Tamara in Reboot, The Guardian Code, Lydia in Pillow Talk, Kristen in the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Coral in Lionsgate's A Mermaid's Tale, and more. Most recently, she starred as Joanna in Hallmark's Our Holiday Story, Brittany in Return to Sender, and appeared as Angie Hansley in Trackers. She won numerous awards and nominations for her acting, including Best Performance at the Canadian Screen Awards and Leo Awards for her role in Pillow Talk, Best Actress for her role in I Dare You, and more. An accomplished filmmaker, Sydney directed This Hits Home, a film that dives deep into the traumatic brain injuries of domestic abuse survivors. The film won the Audience Choice Award at the Boston Film Festival in 2020. In October 2024, she wrapped her thriller-slash-horror film Sawtooth Mountain, for which she is making her directorial debut in the genre. It is set to come out in 2025, so if horror is your bread and butter, be sure to keep an eye out for that. Finally, Sydney is an entrepreneur who is releasing a nutraceutical brand with life extension in 2025 for migraine prevention and brain health. We are so lucky to be speaking with the one and only Sydney Scotia today on Life Lessons Unscripted. Here is Sydney Scotia.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa, and thank you for the comprehensive intro. I feel so honored to be here and to be one of your guests.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to have you today. I mean, you are such like a dynamic, amazing, like multifaceted person. Like, I just can't wait to get started and dive in.
I'm so excited. I mean, I've just heard the most wonderful things about you from people we know, and I've watched your interviews and you're so amazing at them. You have such great energy. And the fact, you can cut this out if you want, but she's literally on a cruise ship right now doing this interview. So the commitment is there. I so admire you.
Thank you, Sydney. So let's get into it. You are an accomplished actress, director, producer. I said that long list of titles in the intro. How and when did you first know that you were going to become an actor?
You know, I started dancing competitively when I was, 7 years old. And from there, I just fell in love with performing. I was pretty shy growing up, and getting on stage just really made me break out of my shell. And there was an acting class at my dance studio, and I started taking acting classes around. And, you know, I didn't really start taking it seriously until I was 13 or 14, but I started at age 10. There was this little acting class at my dance studio, and my mom put me in it. And I started just trying to go for it. I booked a music video when I was 10 or 11 where I had to cry over a Barbie doll. And so that, along with watching Disney Channel and watching Nickelodeon, I started to think, oh, maybe professional dance isn't the route I'm going to go. Maybe acting and performing on screen is a career option. And I always kind of had that in the back of my mind. Like, I never thought, oh, I want to be on tour dancing behind an artist. I want to be on screen saying lines. And so around 14 years old, that's when I knew, okay, I'm going to go for it full force.
Wow. Wait, that's so cool. So wait, you were in, do you remember which music video it was that you were crying over a Barbie doll?
Oh my gosh. It was a local Arizona artist, because that's where I grew up. And her name was Brynn, I wanna say. I don't know where this music video is. I have since searched for it and cannot find it. There was a premiere for it and everything. You know, we went over to someone's house and there was like a premiere party for this music video. And I was so proud. And I don't know how I booked the crying part, because I don't know. I never practiced crying as a young girl. And so I was like super excited to book this crying role. And yeah, the artist had to come up to me and fix the Barbie doll for me. And then I was all happy. That's all I remember about this music video. I have no idea where to find it, but I think it's hilarious that it exists somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess, when I actually haven't told the story before, but when I got into acting, I was like 10, I think. I was really like, I was kind of old, honestly, to be a child actor, but anyway, I couldn't cry, like I couldn't fake cry, and like we always joked, like, oh, I haven't had enough hardship in my life, but seriously, like I think if you're able to cry like just like that when you were like what, 7 or like young, really young, like that is a sign that you have talent, like in my mind.
I don't know. I think everybody hits different emotional points at different points in their life. And I definitely went through a period where I was like trying to tap into, there's so many different ways to emote for camera too. There's like the fake kind of comedy crying where it's like more just for laughs, and then there's the actual trying to make it realistic, and then somewhere in between there. So I don't know which of those I was doing at 10 years old, but yeah, I didn't know that you got started at 10.
Yeah, I signed with my agent when I was 10, and then I don't know, I think I actually really started getting into it in COVID when I was like 12. So I don't know. The journey's different for everyone, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that feels like it's late, because that's how I always felt in dance. I got started at 7 in dance, and like the studio owner, her daughter got started at 2 or 3. So I remember going in feeling like I'm so far behind, but it's hilarious because we're 7 and we're 10 years old and we're saying we feel like we're so far behind, and then you keep getting older and you keep saying, oh, I feel like I'm so far behind, when nobody's really behind at all. But it just feels that way stepping into a community of people who have like breathed that industry for the last 5 years before you.
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, like, it's really funny. I agree. When like 10-year-olds are saying, "I'm so old," like, you're not
Yeah.
old. What are you talking about? You're a baby. And I mean, obviously, you're an accomplished actress now. And even though you started, around age like 10-ish, you said, like when you started doing that music video stuff, like you're an accomplished actress now. You are huge. And it
I
does
don't know about
not,
that.
huh?
I don't know about that, but you're so kind.
I think so. Okay, wait. So for acting, do you remember your first audition? Tell me, like, what was it for? And I don't know. Do you remember, like, how you felt in that moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I took that acting class at 10, but I didn't go to LA to take an actual acting camp until I was 13, and then moved out to LA when I was 14. I had, my parents are so supportive, and we packed everything up at 14 years old, moved out to Los Angeles, and then just started trying to find an agent, getting auditions. My first real audition that I remember was probably for Criminal Minds. And I got that audition before I even had an agent, because I started taking as many casting director workshops as humanly possible. I think because I started homeschooling at 14 as well, I started taking one class or workshop a day, just because I felt like I was behind at 14 and wanted to get better fast. And so those casting director workshops really got me into the feel of what an audition felt like. And the casting director for Criminal Minds at the time was doing these workshops and calling people in based on these workshops. And I heard that, and I just started taking as many workshops as I could. And then I got an audition for Criminal Minds. And I actually remember people saying, you're going in for a serious drama. Don't make them laugh. Like, you're not trying, it's not a show. Don't go in trying to make people laugh, even though a lot of the auditions at that age were Disney or Nickelodeon. And I remember I just flubbed up so bad, not on the sides and not on the audition, but just in like speaking to them. Maybe I was nervous or something. But then I said something that made the whole room, because it was a producer session as well. There were like 6 people in the room, which was crazy for not having an agent. The whole room just erupted with laughter. And so that's my first audition experience I remember, and me leaving feeling like, oh man, I totally blew my opportunity for Criminal Minds because I made them all laugh, and you're not supposed to make them laugh in a dramatic audition. There were so many rules I had going in my head, and it just wasn't true at all. But that's my first audition experience I remember. But what was yours?
Mine. Let's think back. I think honestly, one of my firsts I remember really vividly was when I was 12. I auditioned for this show called Drama Club on Nickelodeon. And I remember just like taking so many classes with like all these acting coaches. Like, I think I had like three sessions with like different ones. And I was like, what do I do with this? It was like for this girl named Mac, and she was amazing. I loved the role so much. It was so sassy and fun. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I do it, and all these people are telling me different stuff. They're like, you should do it this way. And I'm like, okay. And I tried it that way, and it didn't feel right. And I was like, whatever. And then I tried the next way, and then I did that. Felt a little bit better, and then I still didn't like it as much. But they were all telling me like opposite stuff, and I was like getting confused. And I remember vividly just like, scrap that, scrap that, scrap. No, I'm gonna do it that way, and then I'm gonna try it just however, like whatever. I'll just send one, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't care. I'll go. And my agent ended up picking that tape when I was like, whatever, send one. Like, what that attitude. And she was like, that's your best one. And I was like, really? I wasn't even trying. And she goes, that's why. And I'm like, oh. So I didn't actually end up getting it. I think I got to the very end-ish, and then I remember that my agent had called them and was like, why didn't she get it? And they were like, she's too small. She's like 12, and the rest of them are 14, and she's very like. So I was like, oh, man, I'm short.
Hey, that's a good problem to have, though. You were the youngest one of the bunch. But that's amazing. See, to have the wherewithal at that age to be like, okay, scrap all the noise. I'm just gonna throw something on tape. I think that took me so long because I didn't get started really doing auditions or tapes till I was 14. And so many times I can remember spending a lot of time on tapes early on. And then you realize, oh, you just have to bring yourself to the tape and set it off. And be yourself in that situation. But to be able to do that, that's amazing. And to get that far, I think I remember that was a pilot, right?
I think so. The show ran for like a season, but I think it was a pilot.
Okay. I think I remember hearing about that one. That wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, it was 2020, like, I want to say like 2021 or something, because that must have been, it was COVID too,
That's
so
amazing. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Thank you. Yours was amazing.
Congratulations on that
Criminal
movie. Well,
Minds? Criminal Minds, CBS? Are you kidding me?
don't know. That
I mean, you had a bunch of other ones, right? Like, I did a little stalking on your IMDb, and there's like, you did Bella and the Bulldogs at some point. Like, tell me about your earlier on auditions and, like, I guess that process as you kept getting better and better. What
my
things
first
were
go.
you noticing?
I did a couple of Nickelodeon shows in between filming Some Assembly Required, which was the series that I was on. And so I would come back to LA after filming in Vancouver, and I did Sea Dad Run, I did Haunted Hathaways, and I did the Thundermans, which were all such great experiences because I got to step onto somebody else's set and not be, I don't want to say as comfortable, but when you're filming a series, you know everybody there, you're hopefully there for years, and that was just felt it felt like home. And so stepping onto somebody else's set, I got to see how other people do things, how other people act, and getting to see really experienced Nickelodeon actors and just really experienced actors in general, like Scott Baio, perform and see how they approach sitcom work. I loved that. And also it was all on the Paramount lot, which is such a dream. I mean, the Paramount lot feels like everything that a TV set should be.
Yeah, and also like, I mean, Nickelodeon acting and like that multicam, like huge sitcom acting is very different, I feel, from like many of the, I guess, I guess other like sitcoms I remember, which I probably shouldn't remember them because they're made a lot before, like a lot longer before I was born. But like Friends and all that, like it's interesting to see how different like Nickelodeon and Disney is from like other kinds of acting.
It is so different. What do you prefer? Or do you have a preference between multicam sitcom or single cam drama? Do you have a favorite?
Honestly, I feel like I toggle between because when I was younger, I was a lot better at the big Nickelodeon Disney because I watched a lot of those. But now, like obviously it's been a while since I've got like a really serious drama audition, but I mean when I was getting all of those, I was I guess might have been like a year before now. I'm waiting for one of those really, really tough drama auditions, but I feel like I watch a lot more drama now, like a lot more serious, like societal commentary TV shows. I feel like, I guess the more you watch something, like the more like kind of like what's it called? Like I'm blanking on the word, but the
I
kind
know what you mean.
of experience you have. I don't know. What about you?
I know what you mean. The more I watch something, definitely the more I get used to that genre. If I'm watching a lot of multicam sitcom, if I'm watching a lot of Friends, Big Bang Theory, I understand the timing of that a lot more and know what to expect. But then if I'm watching, more like Mayor of Easttown, Succession, which are totally different, but still I consider them in somewhat the same realm, like a mystery drama and then this single cam dramedy. Each one has their own specific timing, and I find that that's a fun challenge of some of the auditions too, is okay, this isn't out yet. You don't know the tone of it, but you have to infer the tone through the writing. Or this is out now. You can watch Criminal Minds. You can watch Mayor of Easttown. You can watch like this writer used to write on Succession, and know the tone. And I like the challenge that comes with each of those, and so. But I do feel like naturally there's always a tone that feels more comfortable. And whenever I do an audition, I'm like, oh, good, one take. That sent let's send it off. Then I feel like, okay, that's the type of tone I want to work on because it came a little bit more naturally.
Yeah. Also, like, it's kind of an excuse to go watch movies as like your acting homework. If you ever become an actor, you can just tell your parents you're doing some homework and watch like six
Exactly.
hours of a TV show. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait to watch Squid Game. Not that I'm ever gonna be on Squid Game, but it's research.
You and I have the same brain because
I
I love Squid Game. Oh my God.
love Squid Game so much. I'm only on episode one of this last season.
Man, I binged like hard. Oh, I don't think I'm ever gonna recover. I'm literally writing like a 15, 16 page film review that I need to now like pare down so that I can like fit it because I have so many thoughts.
Wait, do you do this? Do you do film reviews?
I mean, not in the sense that like it's my only thing. Like I write for my school paper, so like that's why I have like a bunch of articles. But right now I'm writing one about Squid Game season 3, and there are just so many. We could make an entire podcast just about Squid Game.
Just
Like
about
we
Squid
would have
Game.
enough to talk about. But like I agree
I'm
with what you said. I love the show. Not that I can speak Korean or ever be on it. But I don't know if they wanted a voiceover for like an American English dub. Not that I watch dubs.
Controversial topic. Do we watch dubbed or do we not? It
No.
depends who I'm watching with. If I'm watching by myself, I'm not watching dubbed. But if I'm watching with a friend who watches it dubbed, I'll watch it dubbed.
Yeah. For me, I made my parents watch it too, but I do not turn on the dubs. They don't like watching subtitles, so maybe we'll try it with dubs at some point. For me, it's just like, you know, like when the lips are not matched with.
Also, I just want to hear it how it was originally intended at some points. However, if it is more comfortable to watch dubbed, I say go for it. If it helps your watching experience, I'm all for it.
But if you're
If I
like,
want to read your review,
I love
I need to
I'll
read
send it
this
to you
review once you're
after
done.
I'm done writing it. I will, I promise. I will email. Okay. So aside from that whole rabbit hole we just went down,
Yeah, the Squid Game rabbit hole. Yeah,
you booked the role of Geneva on Some Assembly Required in 2014. So, like, you must have been how old? Like,
I was 15 when I tested for it, and then 16, turned 16, like very shortly after starting our first season.
okay, got it. So the show was a huge success, ran for 3 seasons on Netflix. How did you even get the role of Geneva? Like, what was that process from like the audition to like your test and then your filming? I mean, tell me about it.
That actually was a crazy process. I auditioned in LA. I was living in LA at the time, and I auditioned for a casting office that had continually been seeing me for different guest star roles on different Disney and Nickelodeon shows. And I get this audition that comes in. They are auditioning people within LA, that would be willing to go up to Vancouver to shoot. And after the first audition, I auditioned for two characters. I auditioned for Piper and Geneva. And then I get went in for a callback in LA with both characters. And I guess I was just very clearly Geneva. I was blonde, but I was dressed as Piper. So I did the audition for Geneva completely dressed in like punk clothing, or what I considered to be punk clothing, which was a tutu and a lot of bracelets. And then the testing session happened so last minute. I was helping some friends shoot a music video in downtown LA. And then I get the call, you need to be in Vancouver tomorrow, which is one of those dramatic calls we all want to get. Be in Vancouver literally tomorrow. And so I left the music video shoot and packed my bag, went to the airport. It was so wild. They had a rental car there for us, and then told us. It was my first time in Vancouver too. Told us to be at the testing session the next day, and it was going to take some hours. We drive over to this place called Shoreline, and I remember every detail of this testing session. My mom waited for me. I think she was probably outside in the car, just wandering around Vancouver. And they had two of every character there. So two Genevas, two Pipers, two Jarvises. And that was dramatic. And we all had to sit in the room together for hours. And then they would just keep bringing us in and out in different pairings and different groups. And then the final group, I think, was the cast that ended up being on the show. They had us all come in and do the scene together, one of the big group scenes. And I forget how long it was actually. It must have been 3 to 5 hours. And everybody just kind of hit it off. We all had a great time. It felt super fun, but also very nerve-wracking sitting right across from someone that's going for the exact same role. And it's like down to the two of you. There's no other testing sessions happening. And sit and make friends with everybody for 5 hours. And then got the call a week or two later that I'd booked it. Went up to Vancouver, started living in a place called Burnaby, which is slightly outside of Vancouver. And we started shooting in Burnaby. And from there, it was 8 months at a time up there. And it was awesome. We all became best friends. It was all of our first series. So we just became super close. And it was kind of one of those dream scenarios.
I love
Yeah.
that. Wait,
Yeah.
that is that's I totally get the feeling of like sitting across from somebody who is up for the same role as you. I keep running into this scenario where I'm always up for the same role with the same person, and it's always the same person who ends
Yeah.
up getting some. I completely admire her work. She's amazing, amazing actress. But
Yeah.
every single time, like, I kind of see, like, on her Insta that she gets a role that I was up for, like, just like 2 months prior. I'm like, oh, well, congrats, bro.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
really, really funny. Yeah.
It's when you know the five people that you're really gonna come down against every time, especially if you're just in a small market. If it has to be an LA hire, it has to be a Vancouver hire, you know kind of who's all going in for it. But then when one of you is working, the other gets the other part, or when one of you's working on this, the other one gets the other part. So you kind of, it's funny, you get to check the Insta, go, oh, they're working right now? Great. This one's behind.
I know, that's so interesting how like there's kind of this community that's built around, strangely enough, a little bit of competition about who's gonna get a role, but then you also know like you're also kind of happy for them as well, like when they get stuff,
Totally.
and it's like it's like a weird dynamic. It's really
Yeah,
cool.
everything happens how it's supposed to sometimes. And it's just people are so different. People are individual. And so you know that if something's not right for you, that wasn't meant for you, and what is meant for you will always find you.
Completely agree. Completely
Yeah.
agree. That's a beautiful message.
Yeah, it's not like the olden days though. Like I remember you probably didn't experience this, did you? Or you started quite early though, going into in-room auditions every
Oh,
week.
I had
Did you
a
do that?
couple of those. I had a couple before COVID hit. Yeah.
Okay, and then so primarily you've been auditioning on tape.
Yeah. Self-tape. A beauty. I love self-taping.
I did too. Controversial also. But I don't mind self-tapes because it kind of gives us a freedom to be on a cruise ship or in Cabo or in Europe or wherever. And so you're able to live life and still audition and not miss an opportunity. I remember living in LA at 14 years old, thinking, oh my gosh, I can't go on this trip or I can't go back to Arizona because I'm going to miss this audition.
Yeah. I mean, I was in an airport when I filmed one. That's probably the craziest place I filmed one. How about you?
Really? A lot of hotel rooms. I think one time I filmed one in a park, and then my agents got back to me and said, maybe not outside. Maybe don't film it outside. And I said, fair. That's
Yeah.
fair. Very fair. But honestly, those are the ones you just have to throw on tape, like you said, and you just have to be yourself. Like, I bet your one in the airport was amazing.
I don't even remember what it was for.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were on when you finally got that role. I mean, your audition process was crazy. I mean, that's so cool that you guys were literally like driving around in Vancouver, like, oh, 5 or 5 hours of, just reading
Yeah.
tape. Completely surreal experience for sure. What was your daily life while you were working on the show, and how did it feel to know that you were stepping into possibly a new chapter of your life?
I think every day I was just so happy to be there. There was never a day that I took for granted what I had because I had booked a series, my first series I ever booked, I booked 6 months prior. And for tax reasons, they had to scrap me after, months of being like, this is yours, contracts. We packed up our entire LA apartment, got ready to move to Vancouver Island because that's where that one was shooting. And, 8 months after, they had some budget troubles. I'm not sure what happened. And then for tax purposes, they had to hire a British Columbia resident for my role. And so I was completely thrown off. I said, oh my gosh, for the last 8 months, I've been getting ready to go up and shoot this, and now it's not mine. So I really figured out early on what that felt like. And so I knew that I would never take an opportunity for granted. And this worked out better than I could have ever imagined because I just loved what we were shooting too. I loved my character. I loved the set. I loved that we were on a studio. I loved that, every week they were building swing sets. I loved that we were able to step into our editor's room and just watch them edit and become a little family unit there. And every day looked you know, it was similar, but every day was different. You know, Mondays, Tuesdays, we had table reads and rehearsals. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we would shoot. And sometimes we did 1.5 episodes in a week and did bank episodes. And then Fridays, we had our live studio audience where a bunch of kids from all over Vancouver would come and be the live audience. And we'd tape for 5 hours. Well, you know, kids had the best time. They had games and pizza. And sometimes we would go sing a song and we just, you know, we just played around and it was great. And then all of the casts hung out on weekends. It was so fun. But then I also did have homeschooling. I had to finish high school while I was there.
Oh, wow. Wait, tell me about that. Like balancing high school and your work. I mean, that must have been a lot.
I had taken the CHESPE exam in California to become legal 18 so I could work as an adult. And so I didn't have to go to the schoolroom, but I chose to go to the schoolroom to do my schoolwork. But then I would do a lot of it on weekends and play catch up too, because I had a schedule, I had deadlines, but then I could kind of work around and do my schoolwork when I had the time to do it, since the school was designed for that. So I would be in my trailer sometimes doing school. Sometimes I'd be in the schoolroom. Sometimes I'd be all on weekends if I had a really busy set week, and somehow got through it. Honestly, it worked out. I loved online school, and I would definitely recommend it for people who like learning that way. The one thing that was hard to learn online was geometry for some reason. And I did university online as well. And definitely calculus was terrible online. But that's about it. Other than that, it was great. What about you? Do you go in person
Yeah,
for
I
school?
go to school in person, and I would say that I kind of agree that math for some reason is really hard to learn online, even though it's one of those subjects that's not subjective at all, so it should be easy to learn online, but it's really not. I completely agree. I mean, I don't know, 'cause you did go to in-person school before you became an actor, right?
Yes.
How did people react? Do you remember, like, to you just being like, "Hey, by the way, I'm gonna go to online school. I'm gonna become a movie star. Bye-bye, guys," and moved up to Vancouver.
Well, my friend, I started to actually make, I was always so busy during my school years. I would do my 6 hours of schooling or whatever it was, and then go straight to dance and then do 6 hours of dance and then get home and start studying and doing my homework. So sometimes I'd be up till, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And so I was always so busy. And then we would dance on weekends too or go to competitions. So I didn't have a solid group. But then in 8th grade, right before I decided to move away, I started to make a group of friends. And I made one really great friend in middle school. And so that was the only person that I really had to say, because we were really excited to go into high school together. We'd gone to the orientation. That was the only person I really had to tell. And then I just remember her saying, "Well, that's great." I'm like, she was the best. She's like, "I wish you the best of luck." Very mature for 8th grade. And then I would come back sometimes and hang out with my school friends. One kid called me Hollywood for a year, but that was about it. That was about the extent of the conversations I had about moving to LA, because it was just something that I was very close to my family, and we knew that if I wanted to do this, I had to be in LA. And so we just went for it.
Yeah, wow. And the show did splendidly. Like, you won several Joey Awards and a Leo nomination. I mean, I'm assuming, like, was that the first project you won a lot of awards for? And how did that feel knowing that you were getting so much recognition for your acting?
At the time, it didn't feel like, I was so grateful for the opportunity just to go to those events and it was just a blast. I wasn't really thinking about the recognition for any of it. I just was honestly glad to be doing what I like to do and just wanted to find out a way to keep doing it forever. And the events just felt like natural progressions of being in Vancouver. A lot of Vancouver actors have created a community and they all go to the events, the Joey Awards at the time, the Leos. I'm going to go this year again. And it just felt like all part of the whirlwind where we were filming, and then on the weekend we had some event to go to, and that was just, it was just really fun. Honestly, I wasn't thinking about it in terms of hoping to get nominated. I didn't even know that was a possibility at the time. And yeah, I was just grateful for every chance we got to spend as a cast and spend as a crew and with our producers, and to go to Leo's with our producers and our directors was just a blast.
Yeah. And that's actually really beautiful, I think, to be, I guess, so like just grateful and like happy. Like you seem like such like a sunshine person
Oh,
to be
you
around.
seem like
Like,
a sunshine person.
aw, we're like the same breed of dogs or
Yes, we're both golden
like just golden
retrievers.
retrievers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's brilliant that you appreciate the art form so much that it's not even about the recognition, it's just about being there and being able to do your craft. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. I was just grateful. I'm always grateful to any chance. I'm sure you feel the same way. It's whenever you get an opportunity to do something new and challenging and maybe potentially nerve-wracking or exciting, it's just gravy.
Yeah, it's gravy. I love that.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything new about, you know, the life of an actor or like acting skills or like anything from that experience? Like, I'm sure you made friends with your lovely cast, and of course, like we all learn from people around us, and I don't know, I'm just curious.
I would say I was learning every day. I had no idea what a sitcom schedule looked like stepping into that. And they actually set us up with an acting coach for a camp a week prior to starting to shoot the show, which was brilliant because she was a brilliant sitcom coach named Wendy Ferrone. And that experience just led right into shooting. So she told us what to expect. She helped us with our first script. And then our directors were so experienced so that they could guide us that first season. And learning how to do a read through for all of the writers and producers was a big step. But then as the series went on, it felt very natural. It felt like the character just was second nature. And that's the beautiful thing about being able to film for 3 years in a row is just, it feels like stepping into old shoes. And we all pushed each other. I think all of us in the cast definitely pushed each other, and our producers and writers pushed us a lot and gave us things that were challenging and fun and new. And I think the younger cast, especially, we all try to push each other to a level that I haven't experienced before. We were word perfect on our first run through. Every period, every comma we would hit, and we talk about it to this day. We're like, why would we be so hard on ourselves trying to hit every single comma on the very first read through and the table read? If we mess up a table read, we think about it. We were hard on ourselves, but in a productive way, to where we felt great by the time Thursday, Friday rolled around for shooting.
Yeah, wait, that's so cool. You had a bunch of what, like perfectionist actors, like trying to do their best.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it did well. I mean, the timing definitely hit. I love that. Yeah.
We were definitely perfectionists, and we look back on it. We would highlight our scripts. We'd highlight in different colors versus for the stage direction versus the lines, or like an action we had to do versus something else someone else was doing, and tabs everywhere. We were keeners. That's what they call them in Canada.
Keeners. Love that.
Keener. Yeah.
I mean, and then, following is some assembly required. I mean, you've had countless other roles and projects, and I mean, maybe you started off as a perfectionist. I bet, like, maybe did you loosen up eventually, like as you kept going on and doing more acting roles?
It took me a long time, but then I think I needed to loosen up, and a lot of the work requires you to be loose. And so, thank goodness. But sometimes I still feel that perfectionist creeping in the back of my head, and then I have to say, no, we do not need to hit every comma, every period, because sometimes it's more interesting if we are running our sentences together or talking like we do in normal life. But on a sitcom, especially a kid's sitcom, it was a different story. It was definitely the timing had to be on. And I remember a lot of what we call flip-flops, where we'd be like really high up and then really low, or like vice versa. And I had to be like, no more of that. No more of that unless we're doing a sitcom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, perfectionism is like, there hasn't, I'm forgetting who said this. I feel like someone said perfectionism is like the death of creativity or something. I'm forgetting
Yeah.
where that came from, but I've heard it somewhere. And I'm just thinking back on like all the times that like, your best self is your natural self and what you would do. And I like that you're saying that we don't need to hit every single comma and every single punctuation mark, because I mean, it's just so much more interesting to bring yourself into a character. I just think that's like just overall like one of the best things an actor can probably learn about,
Yeah. Yeah, and it people are just looking for a character. And so if you wouldn't stop a sentence where the writer necessarily stopped the sentence, and a lot of writers might disagree, sometimes it's very important, but I think we just have to do our best to be in a moment or real without getting too like into the acting class of it all.
I completely agree. That's
Yeah.
just, yeah. I mean, you've had countless other roles and projects. I would cover them all, but I mean, I can't really interview you for 12 hours. Do you have like a favorite show or movie that you worked on, and why would you pick that one as your favorite?
Mean, Some Assembly was definitely special because it lasted 3 years and we became so close and everybody became so close on that set. But I do feel like I always like to say the last thing I did, just because I feel like it most accurately represents where I'm at. And Tracker was really fun because I got to play a country singer and got to record the song, which was a Zach Bryan song, and sing it, and got to do it on set and be in that high action, fast-paced environment. That was one of the most recent projects I did. So I do think that one was really, that was a fun challenge and special. And I love a procedural. I love a procedural. But Some Assembly, definitely, I always go back to because I mean it feels like family. It feels like home. Even though it was so long ago now, which is wild to think about. Sometimes I think like, oh my God, how was it that many years? But those are two that stand out to me right now. I'm sure the next project after this will probably, it'll be that one potentially. But what about you? What is your favorite thing that you've worked on?
I think Life by Ella, the Apple TV show. I think just generally the story was really beautiful. And it was about cancer and this girl Ella coming back after fighting cancer and surviving and her life. I just think overall the show was beautiful, and the cast members and everyone I met, like that kind of experience of playing a role and being able to talk to everyone was just really nice. And I like the friendships that I made on that cast. And I
Yeah.
think it's just interesting how some of the best shows that we end up picking, our favorites, have a lot to do with the people. Like for me, it was, the friends I made. And for you, I mean, those also the friends you made on Some Assembly Required, like those experiences that you have with the cast, whether on screen or off screen, like that
Yeah.
connection is what really makes the craft really beautiful.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's why a lot of people do this job is because of how close you become with people at a level that you can't really experience in many other jobs, in many other mediums. And like I just went with one of my co-stars from Some Assembly to the lead of the show, his wedding last week. And so I always said, oh, those people from that show, they'll be in my bridal party. And I didn't think that I would, that our lead would have gotten married. He's younger, so I was like, I didn't think he'd be the first to get married. But for us to be at his wedding showed me, okay, this was a really special bond that we all had. And, I think that you're right. That's why we pick our favorites, is because, oh, those are our favorite people. That's the most fun we had on and off camera.
I mean, I completely agree with that sentiment. I think that's just, it's a really loving way to look at acting, especially if you place emphasis on what we talked about earlier with like perfection and getting things right. And I think it's nice to think about the fact that we're all human and we're all characters in our own right as well. And even though we're playing different characters in the show, it's all about the connection that really brings magic into a project. I think that's just really nice.
Yeah, you just nailed it. You nailed
So
it on the head.
let's talk about your recent years and being an actor for so long. I mean, I don't know, how has your acting process changed in any way, and what is it like? I mean, I'm kind of curious as an actor myself, because I know everyone kind of preps for the roles differently, but do you have like a, I guess, particular trend or process of how you go through an audition or even just how you prepare for acting on set every day?
I think it has changed a lot, and it changes honestly with every project. And I get inspired by people that I see on set and seeing their process. I was on set not too long ago with Justin Long. I was only on set with him for a couple of days, but there was a take that he did where it was a line and he went into a monologue. He just improvised a monologue out of this line. And I was just standing there thinking, oh my gosh, how is he doing this? He was just so in character. And I didn't know it was going to be one of those sets. There are some sets where you have two takes. It's an indie. You're not getting much leeway there. And then there are some sets where there's so much room to improvise. And I thought this was going to be, bing, bang, boom. We got two takes. Let's go for it. But it was not, because he totally set the tone for, we're going to improvise. And so therefore the editor had so much more to work with. And I improvised a little bit that day, but then I got so inspired by him that I signed up for a UCB improv class and started going through the track of 101, 201, 301, just because of Justin Long, honestly. And that has changed my process now. Seeing the way he improvised off of one line, I really feel like that can be done. It really shows a deeper understanding of the character. And so now I try to do that more and add, whether it's lines or just idiosyncrasies or something, to an audition or a script, or especially once you're on set and can really play with the character. But that has changed my process a lot, and just getting inspired by different people that I see and taking little bits and bobs here and there.
And I bet like people are going to be listening to this too and being like, Sydney Scotia said she tries improvising. I'm definitely going to try that too. Yeah, we all learn from everyone around us. I love that.
Exactly, right? What's your process?
Honestly, I do a lot of marking up because I am like really into writing. So a lot of the things I do, like I mark up a script intensely. But the thing about improv, like I do run my lines quite a few times, but I mean, I count on my like working memory to get those lines down, but if I mess up on a line, oftentimes I agree that take is a lot better and a lot stronger and a lot more interesting. And I guess I really try to like give myself the freedom to open up and just do stuff. And I agree, like it kind of also shows a bit more of that, like you know the character so well, you can just do whatever in the character spirit. And it's also something that I've been trying to do a lot more, but that's generally my process is I like read a script, do it, and just hope it turns out really well. So have you faced any challenges? I mean, in your acting career, setbacks, stories. I'm open to stories.
I mean, the whole thing is challenging, isn't it? I feel like that's part of the fun, is that the whole thing is either challenging in terms of you against you or you against a character or getting through the ladder to all the way to network and then, not being right for that one, but then being right for the next one. It's like all ups and downs. And I think that's just that's the whole game, isn't it? Just riding the ups and downs and riding the wave. I think the whole thing, anything worth it, any career worth it, or any good thing is always going to be immensely challenging. But then the good moments make it so good.
Yeah, I love that. Acting is a challenge, but that's exactly what makes it fun. I need to frame that on like a shirt and like put it on my wall. Like I
We
need
could honestly do that for every career. We could make it for lawyers. Being a lawyer is hard, but that's what makes it
Yeah, you get to argue, 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 argue.
fun.
And then when you finally win, or even if you don't, you're like, wow, people are so cool. I've never been a lawyer. Do not take that advice. I've never been a lawyer before.
Hey, you might be. I don't know. You seem like you could do anything you want to
Oh, thank
do.
you. So, I mean, okay, look, it's incredible that you've been doing so much, by the way. You've been acting, you've made it to holiday Hallmark movies. Like, that is like huge, huge TV shows and movies, and yet you're also a director. I mean, how do you fit so much into one life? I mean, what has been your philosophy on that?
Well, I just have always liked doing a lot. Honestly, I think I love variety. And it seems like you're doing the same, honestly. You're incredible multi-hyphenate. You're interviewing, you're writing, you're literally going to school still, and you're writing for your school, and you're acting full time. And I think I just have always been of that mindset too. I just like doing a lot. And as soon as I got to a certain place with some assembly, my co-star and I said, "Oh, we want to try producing." So we went and produced a short film. And then, oh, directing looked fun. And then you get more creative control and you get to kind of see the project from start to finish. You don't just show up and do your part. You are responsible for the whole part of the whole thing, especially if it's indie. And then at a certain point, I knew I wanted to go to university as well. And so I finished my degree in business law. And knew I wanted to start a business at some point. So it's, I try to describe it as not a lack of focus, but just a love of focus and focusing on many different things at once. And I just take a project until it is, or I feel it's at completion. And then try to see it all the way through. And I take on projects too that I know that I'm going to be able to see all the way through, like the documentary that I worked on. I said, I'm so passionate about this. I don't care if it takes, the rest of my life. And it took me 6 years, start to finish. And then I'm still marketing it and getting it into universities and at different conferences to spread awareness. And so that process really didn't end after the 6 years. It's still been going much further. So it's just, for me, I just like the things I like and pouring everything into them.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like your whole life and your every single career you take on, like as just your life is a huge unfinished project as well. Like you can fit as many things as you want. And I like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
I like that mentality that you can have multiple things going at once. Obviously, it is great to laser focus, and a lot of people are very successful who laser focus on things. It's just a journey. How do you feel about it? Because you obviously take on a lot.
I kind of have that same mentality as like when you love something, you just kind of got to go for it, right? And you can do as many things as you want in life. Like my mentality is the sky's the limit, because really, it kind of is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
So just on like your extra focus on directing, why did you choose to take on directing in addition to acting? Like what motivated your love for direction and being a director?
I think it started with some assembly and seeing the different process that they went through, and I've always loved work and directing felt like even more work in a way, because they're showing up before everyone else, they're seeing it all the way through to through the edit, and they had a big say in how that final project turned out. And I took on a documentary first for, I called that my film school because it was a feature-length documentary and it took me the duration of film school that it would have taken. And I thought, okay, this is a great way to start directing. It's not a narrative project and I'll be creating the script as I go, but I feel like this is a good way in because I was very passionate about a topic, the topic that I chose for this documentary, and knew that there was a story there. And so I th you know what? It's a really good question, but I feel like I just always loved the creative challenge that came along with that. And honestly, just being creative. And directing is another form of being creative, but instead of showing up and saying the lines and interpreting the character, you kind of have to interpret every character in the script and oversee the whole thing. So it was just another form of creativity I wanted to take on, and I still am very passionate about. And so I've got projects in the works now that I'm working on with writers and writing myself to direct, and narrative projects and narrative features, just because I love the process. I think it's just a love of process.
Yeah, I really love that you understand all these other characters. And I'm assuming the first project you're talking about with the documentary was that This Hits Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that film was phenomenal. It won the Boston Film Festival
Thank
Award.
you.
I mean, actually, do you mind telling me like what that amazing film was about and what your thought process was behind, creating that story and sharing it with the world?
Yeah, so This Is Home was about traumatic brain injury as it relates to domestic violence. And it's a long story, but basically I'll shorten it. My father is a neurologist who was one day asked to go to a domestic violence shelter and talk about opening a traumatic brain injury clinic. And at the time, not a lot of people knew what that meant or why a domestic violence shelter would even need a traumatic brain injury clinic. And so I talked to the woman who was asking to have this traumatic brain injury clinic placed in the shelter, and her mother had sustained 40 years of abuse, mainly to the head, and had been suffering the same injuries that football players had been suffering, hockey players, boxers. And I felt like that was a story that really needed to be told. And then I found out that one in three women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. And it just felt like something I wanted to take on because of Maria's story, who was our protagonist. And just not letting this epidemic remain silent anymore. And so I took that film start to finish. That was the one that took me 6 years. And I interviewed countless women who came to me wanting to share their story. And I talked to lawmakers, neurologists, neuropathologists, and everybody was really open and willing to speak about this because it was the first time that a lot of people had been speaking about this in general, just because it was so understudied and not understood.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible, first of all, that you went that much dedication into a really, really important topic and that you're using film as a medium to kind of explore it and bring awareness to that topic. I think that is incredible. And I mean, TBIs and especially domestic abuse, that is, those are huge topics. And I'm really glad that you tackled them. What were some steps that you took to make sure that your message came across in the right way and that, topics like those were handled very carefully?
Edits. I mean, I was 19 when I started, and I think that I always wanted to make sure that it was handled the right way. And so I relied on those around me, including our protagonist Maria, who ended up becoming an associate producer on the film, because she was an expert on the subject. She advocates for survivors and victims, and she started her own foundation. And so having her expertise was super important. Having the expertise of the doctors, you know, everybody was helping guide, and just in the information they give, everything that people gave was factual, accurate, and true. We interviewed the best people to interview for this documentary, and I was very lucky that people were willing to speak, and like top neuropathologists in the country at Boston University, at Harvard, at Mayo Clinic. And so just making sure that everyone gave accurate information, and then having that checked again and again by experts and by people we consider experts in the field of DV and advocates. And so just making sure it was sound, and it didn't feel wrong. So you're right. It was a challenge, but luckily I had really amazing people around me.
Yeah, I really love that you consulted so many people. I think that brings a whole different level and of intensity and impact to your film. And I don't know, I think you're amazing, and that was just beautiful.
Thank you. So honestly, that's the word. We just really wanted to have an impact and really wanted to get this story out there. So I'm glad that it is, raising awareness and in university programs now, and I'm really glad that it's having a life beyond just a premiere and, to Amazon Prime.
Yeah, everyone needs to go watch that film now. I'm imploring everyone to go watch that. Yeah, it's that's amazing. And also, there's so many differences I know between acting and directing. I mean, for one, an actor's in front of the camera, and directing and producing, you're kind of behind it. I mean, which things have you noticed about it? I mean, it could be good things, challenging things, rewarding things. And have you noticed like which way you might lean, like with acting or directing? I mean, obviously it might be hard to pick one at all, but I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
I think it really depends on the project. I haven't directed episodic. That's something I would really love to do, but I know that that's an entirely different medium, and so I'm very much still learning in that area. I think there's obviously certain things you have to know in directing that maybe you don't have to know as an actor, but still, I find there's a lot of crossover. You should know at all times where the axis is and where that your camera is and where the light is and what is making it all move. Because if you know that as an actor, you're much more effective and efficient. And if you know that as a director, well, you have to. So I think there is a lot of crossover if you're curious enough. But how do you feel about that? Do you want to direct?
I do want to direct when I'm older. That's actually kind of why I was asking. I was like, what does she know? But
You probably already know a lot, having been on Apple TV and acted in so many things. You probably know more than you think you do.
maybe I do. Maybe I definitely still have a lot more to learn. I think that there's always a lot more to learn, and I'm really
Always.
grateful that you're sharing, your life experiences, because there's a lot of stuff that people can learn. I mean, what if you could describe has been an impact or the greatest impact your artistic career has made on your life? I mean, we learn a lot from, again, those professions we choose, and I'm curious as to what acting and directing have taught you.
I mean, so much. That's such a deep question. A lot of what I've learned through about interpersonal relationships has been through, working with people on set, and since that's where I kind of grew up, and that's such a huge one. And being an actor and and directing and working in film and media and just going through that journey has taught me a lot about everything, honestly. Interpersonal relationships, working with people on set, friendships, and acting has taught me about a lot about empathy and stepping into somebody else's shoes and putting yourself in different situations and understanding where other people are coming from. I'd like to think that now I think about the world around me differently, just putting myself in somebody else's shoes. It's taught me about decision making and confidence and how impactful storytelling is and how it shapes our thoughts and views, opinions, and impacts our world.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to learn from acting. I think that it's nice that it applies to, all of life, like daily living and how to deal with people. I really like that.
I
Yeah.
think just watching movies in general, too. Just watching movies for me can teach me about a time period that I may have known nothing about, the experience of someone in a country I've never been to, and there's so much to learn from movies and film, and
Yeah.
also it's a really fun way to learn about the world.
I completely agree. And I mean, that's kind of sometimes, most of the time, actually, like the point of a film is to get a message across. And I really like that, our like media is kind of moving towards giving people that kind of knowledge and experience. I have one final question for you. What would be your advice to aspiring artists looking at you now, thinking like, man, how does she do all this stuff?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if anyone's thinking that, but in general, I think actors and creatives can take control by making their own content, making their own projects, being creative, writing, and just doing as much, and don't compare. I would say don't compare to everybody else's journey is separate and your journey is singular. And so I think just enjoying the journey, as cheesy as that may sound, like riding the ups and downs and having a blast and feeling like every day you're so lucky just to be doing something creative.
Yeah, I completely love that. Okay, so we're gonna move on. I really want to play like a quick little game with you,
Okay.
and it's gonna be called Hollywood Hot Takes.
Okay.
So basically, I'm gonna basically name out like I guess a couple hot takes about things about movies, industry life, etc., and I want to know your thoughts on them, your hot take.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so the first thing, rom-coms are overdone or too cheesy.
Rom-coms are one of my favorite genres. And Cameron Diaz is one of my favorite actors. Rom-coms are the best. I would die on that hill.
Perfect. Okay, the next one is about horror. The thing is, horror films are poorly written when the one like person is like in the dark room, like they purposely, like, how do I say this? Like rage bait when you go in, like when the character's going into like the place where they shouldn't be, and
Oh
like the,
yeah.
like that kind of sequence. I was having trouble putting it into
Yeah.
words,
But
but
if they don't go into the place that they're not supposed to be, then where's the movie? So that's a disagree for me. They have to go into the place we don't want them to go into. And I love the rage bait. I will yell and I will say, "Oh my God, this is so stupid." But then I love it. I actually do love it.
yeah, me and my friend recently watched The Purge, and I remember there's this one scene where the dude, like, l he lifts off the safe barrier and lets a guy in. I'm like, why would you do that? It's just like,
Seriously,
Yeah.
seriously. But they have to.
Yeah, they really do have to.
Why do you have to go to the cabin in the woods? Why are the group of teens going to a cabin in the remote woods?
Yeah, for real. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
We don't need to know. We don't need to know why. They just have to do it.
You never need to know why. Okay. We kind of actually touched on this one when we were doing our interview, but self-tapes or in-person auditions?
I'm going to say both self-tape and in person. Self-tape if it's a pre-read and there's 1,000 people, call back in person if it's 50 or less. I don't know. I don't make the rules, so that's
I like.
my hot take.
Okay. The other hot take is kind of more of a question. Why the hell do all the shows film in only Canada? Why is it always Canada? That thing.
Tax credits.
Tax.
Tax credits. They get 35, potentially now 40% back on their above the line labor in Vancouver. So fully tax credits. And also the Canadian dollar is 75 cents to the dollar.
All right. I
Bet
completely
you
get it
were
now.
not expecting that answer.
Yeah. You know what? Hopefully people get it now. Why they're all
I know. I
Canada.
know. I also don't make the rules there. I didn't make the rules.
Yeah. this one is up to you, actually, your opinion on most overrated movie.
Post over. Oh my gosh. No, this could get me in trouble. This get me in trouble in my friend group. I honestly don't know. This is so hard. Can you go first?
Okay. This is a hard question for me
This is
too.
such a hard question. I bet you any other day I'd be able to answer this. The New York Times just came out with the top 100 movies of the century. I'm gonna say, okay, I love Alfred Hitchcock. I don't think this is going to offend many people. I'm going to say Birds. I'm going to say the Birds. Birds is highly overrated. I took a Hitchcock class in college and watched a lot of his films, and I don't understand why people revere that one over 39 Steps. So I'm going to say the Birds and stand by that.
Okay, since you went, I'll say it's only fair that I give my own hot take. I'm gonna say the same movie I said earlier, The Purge. Not scary enough. I don't watch a lot of horror, and I don't really like watching horror for the reason that I don't scream. But when I do watch a horror film, I'm supposed to scream. I didn't scream at all when I was watching The Purge.
I haven't watched it, so I'll agree with you.
Okay.
I know I'll watch it, and I probably won't scream either. So,
Yeah. I mean,
I
you know what? You do a lot of horror, so I can see
love horror. I
why. I don't
love
think
it.
you would scream at this one. It's not scary.
I
Yeah.
don't think I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I've ever screamed. Maybe Insidious. Maybe Insidious. I don't know if I've ever screamed. Or
Yeah.
maybe when gory things are when I, ah, that's where.
Yeah. Okay, this next one is something I'm very passionate about, but I'm curious to see what you think.
Yeah.
Disney live action cartoons are not supposed to be happening.
Oh, you mean like Snow White and Cinderella?
Yeah. Like, what do you think about the Disney live action?
Not sure. I liked the Cinderella movie with Lily James. I haven't seen the most recent Snow White yet. I think it depends, for me, depends on the movie. Totally depends on the movie. And because I love a fairy tale brought to life, like Enchanted to me, even though that's not previous IP, that was so, or was it? I don't know. It was so clever. But I think it depends how it's done. I think it depends on the cartoon that they're recreating. That was a very safe answer. But because I can't think of how many I've seen right now. But I did like the Cinderella movie.
Me
I
too,
will give that.
actually. Yeah. Have you seen Cruella, like the one starring Emma Stone?
I haven't seen it, and it is on my list.
I think I've heard a lot of good things about that, but I think it's interesting how it's a live action, but it's also not completely redoing the previous film. Like I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, or
Yeah.
Maleficent. Yeah.
Oh, I loved Maleficent. Oh my gosh. That was a work of art.
Angelina Jolie. Mwah. I know.
Literally a work of art.
Okay, this is the final hot take.
Okay, I love these.
2000s to 2010s era movies and TV shows are better than the ones right now.
Oh. I mean, that's hard to answer because I was, in the 2010s era. So you mean like 2010 to 2020? Or like 2000s?
From like
2000 to 2010.
2000s to like maybe like end of 2010s era or the better shows.
2000s, I was watching Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, Amanda Bynes. I was watching a lot of Amanda Bynes that in that era. And I will say I haven't seen that genre of film, the Amanda Bynes genre and Lindsay Lohan, early Lindsay Lohan era movie redone in this, in the 2020s. But that's what I was watching back then. I wasn't watching The Revenant in the early 2000s because I was 5 years old. But I think movies are getting better in terms of special effects and VFX. And so it's all good. I love watching a movie from the 1970s as much as I love watching a movie from the 2020s.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. I will say personally, I'm a lot more of the leaning 2000s. Mainly, I think it's just because I haven't found my pick yet in the 2020s movies, but I'm searching. I'm searching. We're gonna keep
Yeah.
our eyes wide open.
Have you watched Lady Bird?
No.
Ooh, watch Lady Bird. Dee Dee, Brooklyn, anything Saoirse Ronan.
I need to.
That'll be your pick. I think that'll be your pick.
Yeah, that'll be the era. That'll be the what's it called? The not era. Era is not the right word. I don't know why I said that. That'll be the snap, like the click, the spark.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming, Sydney. It was an absolute pleasure to have you and hear about your career and experiences. You are an excellent speaker. You can all follow Sydney on her Instagram account at Sydney Scotia, which I probably am already doing, so I'm gonna leave my phone down. And you can also watch her show, Some Assembly Required, watch her documentary, Hits Home, This Hits Home. And I'll see you all next time on Life Lessons Unscripted.